What do you do when you realize that you're a woman trapped in a man's body?
What do you do when you realize the man you married is a woman?
In this series, we reflect on our past to discuss how we got here
and explore where we can go from this point moving forward.
Hi, and welcome to The Rage, my friends. I'm Calista Termini.
And I'm Jennifer Termini. I'm sorry, I reacted to that because she never says my friends.
Well, you know, today is one of those days, Miss Girl.
Oh, okay. I'm a supporter of one of these days.
Yes, it's one of these days where,
wine time.
We need to have wine because we have to have some girl talk.
Okay.
It's all about...
I'm good.
Talking about relationships. Where to begin? Where to begin?
Okay, you obviously have a lot to say. And if it's not about me, I'm all for it.
It is not about you. It's about romantic relationships in general. They're difficult, aren't they?
They can be.
Yeah, they sure can be. Let me tell you.
Cheers to that.
Yeah.
All right, so do tell.
Oh, well, keeping it vague.
Mm-hmm. To protect the innocent.
To protect or the not so innocent. I have been going through a bit of a struggle in my current relationship, as all relationships do. And we were talking about it the other day, and I think I was just expressing some of my frustrations and...
You and I were talking about it, or you and your partner?
You and I were talking about it.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, you know, this is some good old girl time conversation for us to have.
I have to ask, are you going to get in huge trouble with your girlfriend for having this conversation?
Most likely.
Okay. Okay, this is going to get interesting.
Most likely. So, yes.
Am I going to receive fallout?
Most likely.
Ooh, okay. I'm glad we've got the wine. All right.
Yes. Well.
Wow. Okay.
No, I'm not here to spill the tea per se. I'm here just to talk about how relationships are really difficult, girl. It's funny because when I did start to date my partner or my girlfriend, we were friends. We were friends for a long time. And then one thing kind of, you know, evolved into another. And I've certainly grown. And now we share a place together. We have our hopes and dreams and everything sort
of... very entangled and enmeshed.
Very enmeshed. And I'm not unhappy about that. But we have some things that we need to work on. And I think it's just worth talking about, like how, you know, we've both struggled with, you know, relationships after our marriage. And
are you referring to my most recent struggles?
I am, yes.
I can be vague about that.
Yeah, and I'm going to be vague because, again, I want to make this respectful. This is not
and conversational, about, not just about, like, bashing someone.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, just to touch upon my situation, when my relationship, which by and large was a very good relationship, wasn't quite meeting my needs and we broke up, it was difficult. The breakup was difficult because this person didn't want to break up and they were choosing to, you know, remain in the land of hopeful and kept coming around and coming around despite my words saying to the contrary of, please, let's have some space. But I was very nice about it and maybe too nice because they felt that it was okay to spy on me, to leave messages and gifts on my door. The most egregious part was the spying on me. I didn't like that. And then when my neighbors told me they had video footage of this person looking in my windows on multiple occasions over the course of months, it was just enough is enough. Like, at some point, you have to put your foot down to protect yourself and your family. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate that it got to that point because it was really scary. And it is still a little scary, but I believe this person is going to stop.
Hopefully they have. you know, and certainly don't want to get into too much of the dish or the tea about.
Well, I wish them well. I really wish them well. And they're probably watching this episode. And so I say to you with all sincerity, please get on with your life and enjoy it. You're a lovely person, but we are no longer. And I need you to understand that very clearly and find joy in another relationship.
Cheers to moving on to things that support us.
Yeah.
On that note, I would say for me, one of the things I feel like is I'm fighting with ghosts. And what I mean by that is that when I first met my girlfriend, it was literally almost, you know, 6 months into my transition, I want to say.
Yeah, it was early. I remember we were still living in the house together and I looked out the window and you're like, here comes my friend. And I was like, who's this coming to the house? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on?
And yeah, and she's a lovely, lovely person. But we have built up a lot of conditioning based on, you know, I was going through my separation from you and learning how to become the person who I am now, as well as dealing with a tremendous amount of change in my life and a career change and all of that.
You also, if I may interject, I'm imagining that you also were having a tough time detaching from me and attaching to her. And that was probably, is that like one of the ghosts that you're talking about? I know you're referring about ghosts on her side, but that's...
Yeah, no, actually, that is not one of them. What I mean by ghosts is like the person who I was, things that I had done, things that I, you know, have said maybe that have been deemed as unkind or...
They're held against you constantly over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. And so I feel like no matter how I have evolved and grown, and she sees that. She sees that I have changed significantly from when she first met me. But
it's not enough.
I still feel like I'm fighting against who I used to be.
Okay.
Because some of that emotional conditioning is there. And it's almost like, you know, so much water has gone under the bridge. And I just want to be able to like, I'm using all kinds of metaphors. Water under the bridge. Can we wipe the slate clean?
Can we start fresh?
Yeah. And that's
what we meet each other in the present moment today and say, hi, how are you? I like you. Can we get to know each other and not drag all the previous baggage?
Yes.
That is the one thing. Well, one of the things that is so damaging is dragging the past into the present. Can't change the past.
Yeah, I can't change who I used to be. I can only work at being the best version of myself. And granted, I do have the ability to say things very sharply. And what I mean by that is, so for example, I was telling you this, that I used a comment one time where I felt that she said something and it really hurt my feelings. And it wasn't meant to be unkind. It wasn't meant to hurt my feelings, but it was like one of those things like
she thinks she was being funny.
No, and I don't actually know the specific instance now of what it was that she said, but it may have been something like, you know, I don't even know what you call this relationship, where I've
was a recent comment, and it's been years.
Yes.
And she still feels unsettled in her position in the relationship.
Yes. And she says that it's because she doesn't, like, I don't tell her, like, you know, maybe not tell, but that she, like, I give her mixed signals, and I don't get that because I'm very consistent in terms of, like, I'm here, I've both feet are in the pool, I've said over and over.
Okay, you're living together, you've been meshed a lot, and what else, what more? But obviously more is needed. She needs more, but you don't know what it is.
Yeah, and so, you know, and she's said things. She's told me, like, she needs romance, she needs me to,
You know what that looks like? Do you know what her idea of romance looks
like? Well, here's the thing. When I have done things to try and show her how much I care, it's almost like nothing changes. But
is it your idea of romance or her idea of romance?
You know
what I mean? Like, if your idea is I'm going to give you a flower and her idea is you're going to cook her a meal. Like, do you know what the love language is?
Yeah. And some of it has been about, like, getting dressed up, having date night, going out, taking her out to dinner.
And but you've done that.
I have done that. And things stay the same. So it does feel a little stuck. But, you know, going back to this comment about, I don't know what you call this, or words to that effect, what I told her is when she says things like that, it has a corrosive effect on my feelings.
And do you think she wants to be married to you and that's that would make her feel solidified
with a title? I don't think she'll ever get married again. Mm. She's already, and again, I don't want to talk about her too much, but
yeah, don't.
You know, she's been down that route as I have, and I don't think that that's something that she's interested in.
Okay. I only ask these questions to try to help you get to whatever it is that she needs.
Sure.
Because I don't know, you tell me that you know. But if you really knew, then you'd probably be pressing that button.
Right. So anyway, but my point that I was trying to get to was this idea of then I tell her how saying something like that has a corrosive effect on my feelings.
Yeah.
And now it gets turned around to make me feel like the bad one because I said that and that was such a hurtful thing
for
me
to say.
Yes. Such a specific word that almost to the extent that it can't be forgotten, it can't be forgiven.
One more ghost to add.
Yes.
To your situation.
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
And so that's kind of like where we're at. I have looked like, and we go through these cycles where things are good, then things are sort of ordinary. And this is almost, you know, all relationships have cycles. Mm-hmm. So, and it's sort of like, on a grand scheme, we actually refer to this, and this is in no way my situation, but we refer to it as the cycle of abuse in psychology, which is when there's a honeymoon period and everything's great, and then we have ordinary times, and then an incident happens, and then there's the explosion, and then that's when the abuse happens, and then that person then apologizes, there is atonement. And then you have this honeymoon period again where things are good and then ordinary and then they slip into the
bad. Couldn't that just be described as this a circle of life in relationships? It doesn't have to be about abuse.
I don't think so, because I don't feel like we had that type of cyclical relationship.
Right. But I mean,
do you feel differently?
No. I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to think. But we also didn't fight much, if at all. Mm-hmm. And we were always very kind to each other. I mean, yeah, we definitely had the boredom. There was some of that. And mm-hmm. we had cycles, you know, like we had repetition. But I never felt like we got to a blow up and then a atonement and like abuse and atonement. I feel like we skipped that part, but we kind of cycled through the humdrum, and then we had passion, and then we had boredom, and then we had, you know, ignoring, and then we had, you know, it was a lot.
But I think that's normal life. Life is ordinary most of the time for most people. And then there's moments which are amazing and wonderful. And then there's also moments that are horrible and gut-wrenching. And so the idea is like, as just navigating the world, to be able to, you know, focus on the good, focus on, you know, even like the ordinary. The ordinary is just a beautiful thing.
You know, take this for what it is, mm-hmm. or what you will. And you know, I'm not trying to compare, but what I'm curious about, because one of the things that was really important to me was the joy in the ordinary. So we would make sure that we would hug each other. The minute somebody came in the door, the rule was you drop everything you're doing, you get up, you go greet them at the door. And I remember mm-hmm. we talked about that very specifically, like that would be a thing to do that would help us be feeling connected, mm-hmm. to feel like when we arrived, it mattered. Mm-hmm. And that was a little thing. And then I also loved getting into bed at night. I mean, I just love bed.
Oh,
so I was
too.
Like,
yes.
Let's get into bed. And, yes. you know, I was like so happy. And that was fun, you know, uh-huh. and little things like lighting the candle. And we had a lot of little ritualistic things that were so much fun that brought me like little everyday joys.
Yes.
So my question to you is, do you think you can find some of those type of things that aren't related to us, but whatever's specific to you and your partner?
Yeah.
Are there some everyday things that she would enjoy that you could help bolster your connection?
Well, and that's what I mean.
I do.
I'm still here and I still feel like if we can just, you know, get past this, if we can get out of this stuckness that we're in, then we can move forward.
And sniffing your neck. That was another one I liked. That was a little joy.
What was? Oh, sniffing my neck, yes.
I would get upset about things, and I'd be really, like, annoyed about something. And you'd go, come on, get in here, take a sniff, get your sniff on. And I'd sniff, and I'd go, okay, I feel a little bit better now. Because I would get so mad. I would go to the grocery store, and I would just do whatever I wanted to do. And then this one would be like, I want to go with you. We'd go there, and I'd grab a jar of peanut butter, and she'd go, there's a peanut butter for 50 cents less. Let's swap it. And then we'd go to the meat section, and I'd pick a thing of meat, and you'd go, there's one on sale. And I'm like, you can never shop with me again. Like, you are not allowed to shop with me, because you just wanted to insert your little...
Well, I was very anxious about money.
But the only reason I even mention this is because I know other women go through this with their husbands. It's like so funny. Like, the man will spend whatever on shoes and a watch and beers with the boys. But when it comes to the grocery shopping and the wife, they want to, like, nitpick it and control it. And I'm like, just get out of here.
I don't resemble that remark. But all of that to be said is, you know, coming back to this idea of, you know, trying to get to this good place, you know,
and sounds like she doesn't feel safe. Is that stretching? Is that reaching on my end?
Don't know that.
Like, emotionally safe.
I wish that I could say, and if that's the case, it's not anything that I can do for her. She needs to, and that's why I feel like holding on to these ghosts or looking at past evolutionary behavior on my part, you know, as I was healing myself and not just in terms of the relationship with you and getting past the hurt that happened because of that and the anxiety and confusion and learning how to really step into becoming the person who I always wanted to be. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, it's huge. I don't even have words for how to describe it. There was a lot going on, and now I'm more settled and more sense of, like, well, this is who I am. And there isn't these things, like I've talked about this in previous episodes, where just even emotionally, the changes that I went through by being on hormones and how that took these, like, bookends off of this narrow vision of, or this narrow sense of what emotionally was available to me. And it just opened up the rest of the bookshelf. And it's like, and there are volumes of stuff that I hadn't, you know, read, so to speak. There's history there. There was, you know, trauma that was like, oh, great, I have to deal with this now. So I am not looking at this as though I am anything close to an angel. But the thing is that I need to be able to move forward. And I can't just keep reliving this same cycle or having to feel like something I said, whether it was, you know, a month ago or 2 years ago.
You don't have to be walking on eggshells.
I'm not walking on eggshells anymore, because she and I, both of us have walked on so many eggshells around each other that it's powder now. It's powder beneath our feet.
Can I ask a really personal question?
You can try.
You can always shut it down. Because this crosses my mind a lot, and I'm just going to ask. Because you're both women, but you both have transitioned. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you two are fighting over who's going to be more feminine. Who's going to be more dominant?
No. Nope.
Because it seems like she wants you to be more in the masculine role. That's where it looks. That's what it looks like from the outside looking in. And that could be totally wrong. And I don't think you like that.
No, and I don't think that way. I don't. I know she doesn't think of me at all that way.
Okay. So you guys are good with that.
Yeah. I feel very seen by her. In many ways, which is really nice. And
but you don't think that she expects you to, like, open her door and pay for her and be more in that masculine role where she's home cooking and you're out earning and that kind of a thing? No. You don't have those kind of gender roles?
No, I don't think so. We both do a lot of things. We play to our strengths. Mm-hmm. She does tend to cook more because I tend to work longer. Part of her love language too is to cook for people.
Okay.
And I really appreciate that, because I get mentally worn out.
Yeah, and that is playing to your strengths. Yes. And that is one of her strengths. She's very good at it.
Yeah, and I will say I am very good, like...
And it probably brings her so much joy. Probably brings you so much joy to eat it.
It does. It absolutely does. And yet, at the same time, there's things like, you know, I wanted to clean the bathroom from top to bottom. So literally cleared everything out of our bathrooms and scrubbed everything from top to bottom, including the walls.
Yeah.
And that's something she would never do.
Okay.
But see what I mean? It's like we both have our strengths. Sure. We both do things that contribute to, you know, each other, to the relationship, to living together. So I really do think that there are a lot of compatible things. I also love the fact that we both are extremely intelligent and being able to just vibe off of each other's, you know, comments and our wit and to, you know, appreciate, you know, things that sometimes are very esoteric or sublime. And of course, it's also really wonderful to feel seen by someone. Like, I never have to worry about, you know, because of her experience being trans, I never have to worry about this person doesn't see me. And that's a really wonderful thing too.
Yeah.
So there are all of these things, but again, it's just getting back to this idea that, girl, just relationships are work. And, you know, it's been a week or so where it's just been like, you know.
So did you two have a conversation and do you feel like it was good or you still have more work to do?
Well, I think that things are temporarily back to sort of like, we didn't have like the honeymoon per se, but we're sort of like things are better. But part of what made that better, I believe, is that and I tried this several times in the past without success, but I finally found a therapist that we could do some couples counseling. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that that breaks us out of our cycle.
And she's open to that.
Yeah. And, you know, and I told her, like, this was something that I talked about doing with her 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to a couple therapists and either they didn't take my insurance or I never heard back from them. And then what ends up happening is, well, things aren't a problem anymore because we go back into sort of like that honeymoon or normal time. And then everything's fine until the next time something happens. Yeah. And that's what I mean by it having like this corrosive or this, you know.
It's just a chipping away. That's what corrosion means.
Yeah.
It's to take away from something little by little by little.
Yeah.
And as resentment grows, the things start to,
It
love
erodes.
Is not growing when things are eroding.
It erodes. And, you know.
And physicality is important. And that's something that I remember we had a therapist one time that said to us, if you want to be more intimate, you have to be more intimate. You actually have to schedule it. You have to just create it, because when you do that, then your body and your mind and your heart wants more of it.
Yes. Yes.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's true for everything positive in life. You know, if you want.
I think so too.
Better meals, you got to spend more time cooking dinner.
You know, I may have said this before, but I love the expression where someone says, wow, look at how grass their green is. How green their grass is on the other side of the street. And the other person responds, well, it ought to be. They took the time to water it.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely true. So, you know, this is an effort to shift things to feel like we can have these conversations without me making a comment like saying corrosive effect and then have it feel like it's being held against me.
Yeah, everything's falling apart.
Yeah. And so for me, it just feels like this sense of repeatedly feeling like I'm disappointing her in some way. And, you know, I certainly don't want that. And I told her that. I said, I feel like everything I do disappoints you in some way. And I feel pretty good about myself. I feel pretty good about what I bring to the relationship. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to feel that way. Mm-hmm. And that is resentment. And, you know, is what's called the four horsemen of, you know, of the apocalypse in relationships. And resentment is one of them, being critical, being defensive, and stonewalling. Mm-hmm. When you have those four things, your relationship's over. So I really don't want it to get to that point. I recognize that I feel resentful about things. And my go-to, and I've said this to her, is I just shut down.
Shut down, yeah.
Yep. And that's the stonewalling.
That, you always used to do that. You would just go in the other room and play a video game, or you would just shut down.
Yep.
You just end the conversation, and that was that.
Yeah. What's the point? What's the point in continuing if all it means is that there's just going to be, you learn from experience, like, okay, this doesn't work, so I might as well just give up.
And I remember when I would try to keep talking to you, you'd go, Jennifer, you would use my whole name, you know, like my, instead of just, and I would go, oh, okay. You know, and it was just, that's an old behavior pattern, but you have changed. And
I don't do that at all.
You don't do that. And the fact that you actually went to her with thoughtful, you know, questions and concern, and you were like, I want this to be better. And here are my issues.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
That's such a difference. That's from then instead of running away, you're facing the problem head on, going, whatever happens, happens. But I want you to know that I care enough to shine a spotlight on it. And you to your partner saying, let's try to make it better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's all anyone could ever ask for.
That's it. Yeah. And so that's where we're at. And, you know, and granted, we talk about, I think that, you know, making it through the pandemic successfully, meaning that we're still together, and trying to get back into some degree of normalcy, spending time with friends. I'm going to sneeze. So while I maybe do that, I wanted to ask you, excuse me.
Bless you.
I wanted to ask you, you know, what are some of the things that you're looking for now in a relationship?
Ooh, well, I want someone who is financially stable, someone who has a good sense of self, someone who has friends close with their family, you know, a level of independence. They're not putting all their eggs into my basket because I have a lot of friends and family, and I don't want to be told I can't see them or do that. You know, I don't like that. So I like independence. I want someone who has passions and creative projects and things that they like to do, not only for work, but also for pleasure. I want someone who's physically active, someone who likes to work out, likes to hike, likes to get in the car and go on an impromptu road trip, stuff like that. I want someone who's intelligent. I like to have good conversations. I like to be stimulated mentally. I like someone who's very physically affectionate and has energy, and also someone who likes to, you know, chill out and watch a movie with me.
Uh-huh.
Someone who likes animals. I mean, I feel like the way what I'm describing is probably like what everybody is describing. What it really comes down to is the chemistry between the two, and not just the chemistry. It comes down to compatibility, because you can have chemistry with all kinds of people and things can be wonderful. But if you're not truly compatible, or if your lifestyles don't quite gel, or maybe you don't have a shared vision for the future, those things can derail a relationship, you know?
Agreed. Yeah.
So it's this perfect little alchemist concoction of what I'm looking for, and I haven't found it.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it comes down to someone that I can be comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you smiling about?
Because I was just going to say, and does this person still have to be a man?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they do. They need to be a man, in my opinion, because I have lots of girlfriends who I am super close with that I get a lot of fulfillment from, but I'm not sexually attracted to them, and I don't want that with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want that with a man. I am still attracted to men.
Mm-hmm. All right. So ladies out there, please let your single men know.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, here's a funny one. So yeah, ladies, send your applications elsewhere to CloStar or whatever.
No, I'm still taken. But no, I was going to say, if you have any, you know, any single guys, you know, send them Jennifer's way.
Single, successful, independent, fun guys. But my daughter, there was something on the internet about silver singles, like over 50. And so we were laughing, and I said, hey, Athena, you know, do any of your friends have silver single parents? And she's like, ew, don't involve me in this debauchery. And like, just keep your eyes open, you know, just like throw your mom a bone.
Yeah. Okay. Or not. TMI.
It's an expression.
Sure. I know it is.
So, wait, did you actually think that I had turned my attention to women?
Of course not. Of course not. But you were saying them and you weren't saying him. So, of course, it begged the question. But I knew what you meant.
Yeah, I still like men.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we do need to wrap up.
Yeah.
So, as always, hit that subscribe button below. Button below if you would like to see more. I'm a professional. Please, kids, don't try this at home yourself.
Yeah. Like, share, and subscribe, and become a patron. We enjoy chatting with you. We really appreciate you. Thank you.
Yes. And please send those guy suggestions to Jennifer.
Oh, yes. Silver Singles. Attention, Jennifer Termini.
Perfect. Are you really on Silver Singles?
No, but who knows?
All right.
No, I'm not. Should I be?
Maybe. Well, I'm going to say no, because you'll get too much too many people out there now. So anyway, I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Thank you, and have a lovely evening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. Oh, it could be daytime.
Yeah. Bye.
More wine.
Yes.
Thank you for tuning into The Rage. If you haven't done so already, please hit the like, share, and subscribe button now. We truly appreciate all your wonderful support. Find us on social media at The Rage Episodes. And leave us a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Want to get more involved? Join us on Patreon. Supporters receive extra benefits as well as access to member-only content. Thanks again, and have a beautiful day.